Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin this study of Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, titled, Wives and Husbands. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com, or you can send those along with any check or money order donations to contribute to this ministry by addressing them to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also donate by going to bbfohio.com and using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen, or the drop-down menu if you're using the mobile site at bbfohio.com. And don't forget, you can listen 24/7 by simply going to bbfohioradio.com and listening to our Bible studies and our hymns 24/7 as long as you have an internet connection. And now we begin our study of Colossians 3 verses 18 and 19 titled Wives and Husbands. This is part 1 of 2. Colossians 3 verses 18 and 19. Wives and husbands. There'll be things for everybody in these studies, this study. Our next study will be children and parents. You want to skip the children and parents? Oh, no. Huh? The Bible doesn't talk about singles. It talks about children. So you'll get plenty next week. But that's not an insult. It's a fact. The Bible, you're a daughter until you're married. Yeah. The Bible doesn't get a big hang up about singles. It's you're a daughter or you're married to a husband. Even if you live on your own, you're still a daughter until you get married. That's according to Scripture. All right. So let's read together in Colossians 3, verses 18 and 19. Read with me. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Now, I just want to note before we start, I will not spend any time apologizing for God's Word and its violation of America's feminist culture. I'm not going to get up here and apologize and try to water down the definition of submit and all that kind of thing. And if you're here today and you're a feminist, you're going to leave mad or repent. Amen. That's the two choices you have if you're a feminist here today, if you're listening online or wherever. You're either going to get angry, which shows you have a bad spirit, or you're going to repent. And we'll see what happens. But the same thing's true with the men. Men, I'll get to them in a minute, but the husbands in this country are pathetic. Yeah. And so, are there seatbelts in the pews? Before we get into it, we're talking about wives. This is a picture of Darth Vader's rarely photographed wife, Ella Vader. Martha, what do you think it's a picture of? An elevator. Oh. I thought she would get it without me saying anything. Elevator. Yeah, she's up and down. That's Doug's joke. Yeah. That was Doug's joke. That was good. Credit where due. Smart Alex in the back. There's a... It's a spiritual gift. Comes in handy a lot. Wives, submit. Stay with me. Wives, submit. Whoa. Ladies, if you want to know if your heart is right with God, just see whether you will submit to this text. I'm not looking at any women. I'm looking for the men, because that's the way I know I'm going to get a nod. Amen. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. That's a key. It doesn't just say wives submit, period. And this is important. Wives are not to submit to men. Women are to only submit to proper authority. And as a wife, that authority is a husband. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you say, well, let me just name off a couple reasons why that's necessary. First of all, I know some women who just think men are somehow their boss. They're not. We'll talk about there are times when other men other than your husband are your authority. But men are not your authority, women.
Yep. Yes. Amen.
Huh? That's right. But as a wife, your only authority is your husband. Now, Jenny brought up singles, a word that's not in the Bible. But as a daughter, who's your authority?
Dad.
But when you get married, it becomes husband. And some women get married and forget that the husband becomes the authority. Where's Olivia when she needs to be here? No.
Yeah.
Seriously, she doesn't have this problem, but I know some women who do. They get married and they still think they answer to daddy. Don't marry that guy if you can't be under his authority. Don't marry that guy if you're constantly going to be fighting with him over daddy. And, you know, some people might wonder, but, you know, my daughter got married. When she's going to get married, I told her. I said, now, you know, I don't know this guy. You do. You're going to be under his authority. And you're going to have to be subject to his leadership. And, no more daddy. No, you know. Now I call up Mariah. The table has turned. Used to be her going, hey, Dad. Now it's like, hey, Mariah. Can I this? Can I that? Can I come over and see my granddaughter? Can I come over and use your Wi-Fi? Hey, Jenny acted like it was weird when I called up and said, hey, I was thinking about coming over for dinner. He just invites himself. Hey, man, I raised her. I fed her for all those years. I'm going to invite myself over for dinner once in a while. Yeah. But if Stephen said, no, I'm not feeding that fat old man. Tell him to get a Chick-fil-A. Well, he'd probably never preach here again, but I wouldn't go to their house. Amen? Think about this. It's important. If you're going to know to submit, you better know who to submit to and when. Amen? A daughter in the home, who does she submit to? Dad. Other fathers, other men, take a back seat. Dad rules. Now you can go to Dad and say, so-and-so said this, what do you think? Or so-and-so asked me to do this. And he says, okay. Amen. Now, Jenny's going to think I'm preaching to her this morning, but or at least for the moment. But I need to say this, no matter who it is. You still live under that man's roof. He's your authority. Once you think you've got big britches and don't have to listen to his authority anymore, time for you to get your own place. Amen. Some of these parents let their kids live under their roof and then let their kids rule the roost. That's anti-biblical. It's wrong. That kid wants to rule the roost. He needs to get his own roost. Amen, Charlie. Now, we have to brag on our kids. We never had that kind of, never had a blow up over our kids trying to overrule our authority. As a curfew thing a couple of times. But nothing really major, serious, and didn't go on, you know. All Jenny had to do was threaten him once and he was in line, you know. What about dating and courtship? Now if you're dating or you're in courtship with somebody, who's your authority?
Dad,
that's right. Too many young ladies find them a suitor and suddenly think the suitor rules. And a lot of parents let it happen. But that's not biblical.
Amen.
Once you get married, then, as I said, who's the man you submit to? Husband. No more daddy or even mommy, by the way. Nobody, once you get married, it's a whole new arrangement.
Amen.
What about a church? This is one everybody's rebelling against today. No. There's somebody below God that you submit to. Right here. But it's, well, I won't jump ahead of myself. But it's the same for all of these men. You submit to them in accordance with God's Word. In other words, if I tell you to do something and it's not biblical, I don't have the authority. See? What?
Mormons?
Oh, well, that's an example of the abuse. Yeah. The cults in general. And that includes some of the independent fundamental Baptist churches who operate like cults, where the pastor is the authority, but it's just his opinion. No. Now, here's the thing, is I try very hard never to try to throw unbiblical authority out there. But if it ever happened, and I've had a couple of people accuse me of that, but I opened up the book and showed them, that's my authority. See? We'll talk more about that in a minute. But that's what I'm saying, is when you're in church, if you are a part of that local church, and in this particular, I'm your pastor, then I am the authority on church matters. But I don't trump your father, I don't trump your husband on matters for which they have authority. See? If everybody just does what they're supposed to do, you know, it works wonderfully. We have had two or three little blow-ups here in 13 years. And I say little blow-ups compared to what I've seen in other churches. They were minuscule. But the differences, the tension, was when somebody refused to submit to biblical authority. And that's when you're going to have your problems. It also can happen if somebody's overstepping their biblical authority. That can be a problem too. And by the way, at work and at school. Some of you work for women, and, you know, that's a shame, but it happens. But anyway, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. Well, I'm saying who you work for. And right now you work for a man, don't you? Yeah, but I work for women, and you know what? I don't have a problem working for a woman. I never had a problem with them. But until they became abusive, abusing power, that kind of thing. But that happens with men, you know, it doesn't matter. But anyway, at work and school, you have a proper authority, amen? You don't obey somebody. Yesterday, Brother Larry down in Parkersburg had a fellow walking by as he's street preaching. And Larry stopped him, was able to talk to him, giving gospel tracts, but Larry had to let him go. Why? Because he was going to be late for work if he didn't. See the authority there?
Yeah.
That's how it works. There's the key. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. That's something that a lot of men don't like. Never submit if it means disobedience to God.
Amen.
That's what, when Jenny said that about church, same thing there. No matter who it is, you have a proper authority you're supposed to submit to, but it's as it is fit in the Lord. So if your authority is telling you to do something that is against the Lord, well, that's when it's better to obey God rather than man. Amen?
Amen.
Why did it get so quiet when I brought that up? Is it? Oh, you're thinking. Okay. That's why I'm smelling smoke. Just kidding. I'm not. Never submit if it means disobedience to God. Otherwise, submit to that proper authority. Amen? Look over Proverbs 31. See, I knew, that's why I wanted to read that. I heard the groans, and it wasn't just Jenny, there was a couple others out there. Proverbs 31, verse 10 is where, I'm not going to read the whole thing, by the way, and should be familiar to all of you. But I just want to look at this. Beginning verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. You know, people haven't changed. And you see all this feminism. They may not have called it that back in, 900 BC. But there was feminism. It was a Jezebel spirit.
Yeah.
And there's a lot in here that we won't take to, talk about. There's the Proverbs 30 verse 23, for an odious woman when she is married, and then handmaid that is heir to her mistress, it makes references to some bad women in Proverbs. Women who are contentious, are like a continual dripping, it says. They actually use that for torture in some countries. A continuous dripping. And somebody said, well, why don't they just find a contentious woman? But that's what it's compared to, something that's almost torturous. But that's why it says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Because that virtuous woman's rare.
Yeah.
Was then, is now.
Amen.
Her price is far above rubies. Now women, you want to be a woman who is, as a wife or mother or a friend or whatever, you want to be prized. You want people to think of you and say, wow, what a woman. This is the outline for that woman. But men, this wasn't put in here so that you can hold this list up and quote it to your wife when you think she's not living up to it. And some preachers do that. This is the ideal woman, and all the women should try to live up to these things.
Amen.
Just like an ideal man, we're going to see later, has a standard to live up to.
Amen.
The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Can he trust you with the bank account? Can he trust you not to go out telling your friends all your personal biz? Can he trust you not to go home to mom and dad and complain about your husband? That's a big one in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Get married and go home and tell mom and dad. You'll forget about it. They won't. And then you're creating tension between yourself and that person. Now, it'd be different if he's abusive, if he's doing something horrible. You know, that's different. But when you just have your spats, you don't get along on certain occasions, you disagree on something, don't go running to your relatives and telling them all that, because you're just causing trouble in your own home. Can he trust you? The heart of the husband, trust her so that he shall have no need of spoil, meaning he won't have to get in a fight with people and so forth. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. A woman that will be a decent wife who won't lie to her husband, won't commit adultery or cheat in other ways on her husband. It's rare these days. For those of you who think a woman should sit at home, watch soap operas all day long and drink cappuccino or whatever, look at verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. You know, that's talking about making money. It doesn't mean she has to do that particular trade. It doesn't even mean she necessarily has to go out and get it. I'm not talking about going outside of the home and getting a job. But she will be industrious. She will try to take care of her family. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her husband. That just means she gets up early in the morning whenever she has a hard working husband or the kids. My mom, up until I was in high school, would get up before the crack of dawn and make sure the kids were fed and on the way to school, and fed my dad and gave him a smooch on the way out the door. And I think, you know, that had a lot to do with the happiness of our home. I remember my dad coming home, and the first thing we said after he walked in the door was, "Ew," because the first thing he did was kiss mom. Yeah.
Stop it.
Gross. And we wanted to wrestle. So I'm not going to read this whole chapter, but I want to direct you there. You know, this isn't meant to be the end all here. We have a Bible study. Take notes, mental and handwritten, whatever, and then go home and use this. Study this. Especially if you're going to be a wife or are a wife. This should be a regular part of your Bible study. This is my little comment on Proverbs 31. What men should desire, to which women should aspire, and when wives attempt to emulate, then the men should fully appreciate. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I could stand up here and get all mushy and talk about Jenny and everything, but I try to keep most of that when we're just by ourselves and all that. But I got to say it. I'm very thankful. Very thankful. And I got a wife that I can trust. I got a wife that is a hard-working woman. And I mean, she's working. When she's not working, she's working. I mean, it's just takes good care of me, and takes good care of the kids, and takes good care of the puppies. But not everybody's in that boat, men. And we're going to talk to you about that in just a moment. But it's really a sad thing when you see someone who's in a situation where they're not blessed like that. The word submit, I suggest you understand it as this. Follow His biblical lead.
Amen.
That includes leading by example, men.
Amen.
You're following His biblical lead. What cracks me up about this feminist thing? I'm an independent, strong woman. I'm going to take a stand. I make my own choices. Every time you see them at these rallies and things, they're all standing there and being told exactly what to do, exactly what to say. And there's even videos of them when they were given instructions, they repeated the instructions back like robots.
Yes.
To quote a man who is not somebody I highly recommend for everything he's done, but he is a sage and a poet. You might recognize his name, Bob Dylan. He made a comment one time, he turned into a song, "You got to serve somebody." You're going to serve somebody. Why not serve your husband and your children? Why not serve the Lord in the local church under a pastoral leadership? Why not, when you're at home, serve in the home under your father's guidance and leadership? Why not? Because you go out from underneath that biblical standard, you're still going to serve somebody. You're fooling yourself if you think you're not. And another thing to keep in mind is that men and women are different. Now, we have a little gift here. We don't even know what they're looking at. But we can see that the women are appalled, if not completely devastated by what they see, as the man laughs. I don't know. Don't get lost in that. That's the issue, is what the men and women are different.
Amen.
That's why it drives me crazy. I have women all the time, telling me to act like a woman. I am constantly getting emails saying that the way I talk, or the way I deal with people, or the way that you need to be more loving, you need to be more... What they mean is effeminate. Because there's nothing unloving about telling somebody they need to get saved or they're going to go to hell. There's nothing wrong with looking at somebody and saying, you know, that's wicked. You're wrong. That's heresy. You're wrong. Amen. There's nothing wrong with looking at somebody and saying that. But I hardly ever... And you know what? When a man does that to me, there's been a couple of them online do that, and I met them in person. Effeminate. Listen. There's a reason why God put man in authority. It's because the guy in authority, he's got to wear the britches in a literal sense and really be ready to put a boot up your blankety blank if need be. Your father loves you, and he sees you doing something that's going to do you damage, he's going to get on it.
Amen.
I've seen Matt walk over to little Samuel and go whop. You think Matt don't love that kid? He loves him enough, he wants to keep him alive. Times where little Mariah ran around, looked like a little Shirley Temple. And you think, oh, the embodiment of cuteness. And then every once in a while I had to walk up to her and go, whoop, right on that rear end. She had a diaper on, it would make a big whoop sound. She wouldn't even feel anything, but her face would go. And then she would settle down and think, I ought not do that. She didn't have an English accent, but she still would say in her mind, I better not do that. Sticking fingers in light sockets, touching hot stoves. Yeah, ought not do that. You say, well, she thinks it's because she's going to get spanked. Because her brain's this big at that point. But as she gets older and that brain grew on the brainstem and she experienced life, she realized there were some things that Dad was right about and I shouldn't do, and I don't have to, even if he's not around to whop me on the rear end, I shouldn't do them. But, and there's always exceptions. I always have somebody come to, well, I wasn't like that with my kids. Fine. The majority, that's the way it is. Dad is the disciplinarian, and the mom is the one who, when Dad comes home later in the day, she's saying, beat him! Beat him! You know. Because mom is the nurturing one, and when she'd be mad enough to whoop him, it'll be like, yeah! Now, what's amazing is how that'll change. Like when Jenny was in a situation where the dad died and she was a single mom, then she busted. She brought out the wood. Yeah. You do what you got to do. But in a home with a husband and a wife, there are roles. You're not the same. And men shouldn't expect their women to be lumberjacks and go out and split the wood all the time. And the men the women shouldn't expect the men to act effeminate and to treat the kids exactly the way they do. I mean, Mariah, you know, with a little Gloria, and you know, yeah. Stephen's like, as long as he ain't hurting her, that's what. Keep that. As you're dealing husband and wife, male to female, in any of the roles, actually, and that includes all the people with pastors, women, don't ask your men to act like women. That's a big thing.
Amen.
There's also this false statement alert I got to make real quick. You ever heard those who say the Bible never tells wives to love their husbands?
Yeah.
I've actually heard that preached. It says, husbands, love your wives. They'll say, well, it never tells wives to love their husbands. Well, turn over to Titus chapter 2.
Amen.
Show of hands, how many of you have heard people say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's even books out there where people have said that. I've read it. Titus 2. And what they're trying to make a point is that women are to submit and husbands do the loving. That's the emphasis. I'll give them that. But Titus 2, beginning verse 3. Go ahead and read verse 3 with me. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now, these are all good rules. We're not going to go line by line on this. We're in Colossians and not Titus. We'll come to this later in our study of Titus. But mark that down, women. Great text along with Proverbs 31. Verse 4, read that. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to what?
Love their husbands.
To love their children.
Amen.
And goes on to say to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. You shouldn't be good to other people's husbands. It's not saying you shouldn't be good to them at all, but the emphasis is your husband is your husband. Let the other wife take care of her husband. That the word of God be not blasphemed. There's been a lot of women who've gone off into adultery and split homes and had a wreck because they had a hang up with their own husband. Grass is always greener. They start treating the other husband, somebody else's husband, with more attention, affection, everything. Didn't change trains.